Hello and welcome to episode 137 of Speak Beastie for October 31st, 2021. I'm Shannon.
I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Helene.
Spooky.
Well, the spook beastie season is continuing. The spookiest episode of all.
So excited that it's Halloween, the day that this comes out.
I'm excited. I was thinking, like, do I still introduce myself as Anne, or do I say, like, I'm a skeleton or something?
Spookleen. I'm Spookleen. That's my Twitter name right now.
Love it.
I'm spooking.
Well, this episode is sponsored by Spook Beastie Patreon supporter Lou Krieg. Thank you so much for your support, Lou, or should I say boo in the spirit of the season.
I love it.
I should have said Spook Beastie in the intro. No, it's fine.
All right. Oh, well, we actually have news, and this has been quite the streak of actually having stuff for the Phoenix Register, so that's very exciting. So, here's the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint. Just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wiggs Knees, and how.
Last week, a MuggleNet staff member attended a test screening of Secrets of Dumbledore in L.A. No spoilers right now on here. We're spoiler-free for now. and it wasn't any of us, so we couldn't even spoil you if we wanted to.
We're going to have a Patreon bonus, though, aren't we?
Yes, we're working on it.
Some hosts there are things about the spoilers. So if you want to hear about the spoilers, you can head over to our Patreon. But if you don't want to hear them, then you should still head over to our
Patreon.
Yeah,
you still head over to the Patreon, even without
spoilers. But you
don't
have to listen to that.
It will be very clearly marked, so don't worry.
I'm not going to listen to it.
Nope. Count me out.
So this screening, it was described to us as by invitation only, and it was mostly insiders in attendance. So I'm not sure how finished the movie was at this point, considering we still don't have a trailer. So I'm sure there was stuff missing, like special effects, and potentially things that will get cut depending on what the reception was.
Or potentially things to get added, possibly.
Right.
There's still time for reshoots, like.
Yeah. 6 months away.
Yep, there's still plenty of time.
Plenty. So we also have another name added to the casting list on IMDb. Tony McCarthy is playing a magical train person. So I don't know what that means.
Does that mean somebody who like works with trains, or somebody who's just like weirdly into trains?
Right. Or maybe he is a train, train, half person.
I mean, I don't know if it's like referencing the Hogwarts Express. Or maybe we're going to see, like, a wizarding public transportation, like a train system type deal. I don't know.
This guy has been in uncredited roles in 4 different Marvel movies. I smell a new Marvel conspiracy theory.
Yep.
They're infiltrating Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if it was the Hogwarts Express, they might have just said Hogwarts Express, because like, it's not a spoiler, right? Like, we know that Hogwarts is in the second movie. It might possibly, probably will be in the third movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like he's listed as train conductor. Like,
right.
Who would he be on the Hogwarts Express? I'm assuming he's an adult, you know.
Oh, yeah, he could be the trolley witch and, like, grow tentacles. And as we learned from Cursed Child, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The demon trolley person.
Just, like, the way this is worded, a magical train person, that just makes me think that it's probably just a passenger.
That's so vague.
On some...
But that's, like, it wouldn't be Hogwarts Express if he's an adult.
Yeah.
Unless he was a Lupin type, but why?
I mean... Berlin? Oh, wait, hang on. Never mind. I was going to say, Berlin has a really thorough public transit system, but I just realized that I am thinking of elsewhere in Germany. Does Berlin have a robust public transit system?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Or did they in the 1930s? I don't know.
I just, like, I guess I'm kind of confused because it, like, it says magical train person. So, like, is he magical on a train or is the train magical and he's just a person?
Right.
Or is he a train person and the fact that he is half train, half person? And why is he, why say magical instead of, like, you know, wizard I just don't get it. It's a very weird
I'm just getting wording. Major, like, flashbacks to when they started adding all the circus people to IMDb for Crimes of Grindelwald, and we're what is happening?
Yeah.
The train circus. This time.
Okay, for the record, Berlin has two different train lines. There's the U-Bahn, which is underground, and the S-Bahn, which is, like, above ground. So there is plenty of potential for magical trains in Berlin.
Sure.
Weird.
All right.
It's just such a weird way to list someone to credit some magical person. I mean, it's like an uncredited role. You know, it's not like he's going to be listed in the credits of the movie like that. But so I don't know. Maybe that's just a filler thing to not spoil something, but it's still very weird.
He's also playing Aberforth.
That'd be wild.
Aberforth is a magical train person.
Maybe it's like Thomas the Tank Engine.
Maybe it's a train transporting goats.
Oh, there you go.
And then we have one fun final bit of news. Poppy, Corby Tooch, and Victoria Yates posted some pics on Instagram of them with a giant wand display in Leicester Square. I think that's how we determine that's said. Leicester Square.
I think so.
And Poppy wrote in her caption on Instagram that they were actually out to brunch and stumbled upon the display. So they didn't actually mean to visit it. So that's kind of funny. But those pictures are up on their Instagrams cares to look.
I know, they're besties. They go to brunch.
I know. I thought that was so cute. I was like, oh.
Maybe they have a lot of scenes together and they were able to bond.
I was thinking because I'm like, they might not have even met on the set of the second one. Like, why would they
have? Right, because they wouldn't really overlap unless they were shooting their scenes back to back somehow, but that's
it's not like they were ever weird. On the same set, yeah.
Right.
So, it'll be... Hopefully that means that they are in scenes together.
What would Rosier and Bunty be doing in scenes together?
I don't know, but I ship it.
I mean, the obvious answer is having brunch.
I guess. Yeah, they were actually filming that day. They were filming and they saw the wands.
My God, what if Bunty became a bad guy? That'd be crazy. I don't even think we considered that in our Bunty episode.
I'd be very shocked.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
But, like, we also didn't ever expect Queenie to become...
True. Or Abernathy, like...
Well, that's true.
Who even thought about Abernathy?
We didn't even think he'd make it into the second movie.
Yeah. True.
Yep.
Well, I hope Bunty doesn't become evil. Maybe Rosie becomes good.
Oh, that'd be good.
I would like that.
That'd be a surprise.
I'd be here for that. Yeah. Well, do you guys see some owls in the distance?
Oh, I think you do.
Yes.
They're coming. They're getting closer. Just kidding. Okay, they're here. It's a spooky episode, so
I'm scared.
Yeah. Time for Owl Post.
The following OWL post has themes of sexual assault. If this is a trigger, please skip to the 15-minute mark.
Kenzie G. wrote to us, and they said, "Not sure if Credence could be a descendant of Slytherin or not, but just going to throw another theory out there after listening to this week's episode. Could Credence slash Aurelius maybe be the son of Ariana Dumbledore, making him in part a Dumbledore? We know he, quote-unquote, technically shouldn't be the sibling of the Dumbledores, based on the timeline, as he should be 35-plus years old, like you guys said in the last episode. But if we are going with the idea of Ariana being assaulted, which caused her father to kill the Muggle boys, maybe she ended up having a child before she died. Not sure how that fits with the rest of the timeline, or the Lestranges slash baby swaps slash etc., but thought it might fit better as Credence appears to be younger and continues to search for his mother. And both characters seeming to be obscuri, is that the plural of obscuri? Anyway, which is often rare otherwise in the wizarding world, although they have both faced a lot of oppression. Anyway, just some thoughts.
It's a really interesting theory.
This is a good theory, but boy, I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really depressing. But
how old
like,
was she when she died?
She's pretty young, right?
Very young.
At least, like, maybe I'm just thinking of her as young because in the movie, the portrait of her is, like, a little girl's, like...
She was... I thought she was 13, maybe?
She died like when she was 14, according to
14.
A quick Google search.
Okay.
That sounds right.
So, yeah, that would be really, really sad if she was sexually assaulted and then gave birth to...
And because she would have had to be even significantly younger.
Yeah, like 13 years old, giving birth to Credence at 13 or however old she would have been. And then dying.
Oof.
I will point out, we don't know what her father did to the boys. We don't know if he... I don't think he killed them. I think it was just like he attacked them. Maybe should have killed them.
I mean, with what we're learning here, possibly. I don't know. I think that this it has legs and like it's a really interesting theory, but I do have to realistically say that I think it's probably too dark for them to do this.
She was six when she was attacked.
Okay, never mind then. Yeah, she wouldn't have been able to have a baby at that point then. I mean,
it is possible. I've read horror stories, but
you have to have gone through have your period before you can have a baby.
You actually don't, but also, I mean, people could have their periods as babies, so that's because bodies are weird. But
yeah, I just can't see them going.
I still think it would be too dark.
Yeah,
it's very dark.
This is being like. Promoted as like a darker wizarding world, a wizarding world for adults. But I feel like once you get into the idea of babies having babies, that's too edgy for a mainstream audience.
If she was a little older in the timeline, I would say, this could be likely. But I feel like they wouldn't go there.
Yeah.
Oof. Yep. Rough. But that would make more sense for Credence's existence.
I
agree with that.
Because then he would actually have Dumbledore blood. So. But yeah.
I mean, I have heard secondhand from, you know, someone who saw the screening that said that a lot of questions are actually answered in this movie. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know more than that.
Maybe, hold up, guys. He's Aberforth's child. Oh,
yeah. Aberforth and the goat.
No.
No.
It was a scandal. All we know is there was a scandal.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Well, this just got real weird.
Anyway, thanks, Kenzie. That was great. You took us to a real weird place.
I hope that your theory isn't true, is all I'm saying.
So let's move on to the main discussion, which is spooky.
Spooky!
Spooky!
We're going to talk about ghosts.
But not the spooky kind, the psychological kind, the scariest of all.
I think that's still pretty spooky.
We're going to talk about like the quote-unquote ghosts in Fantastic Beasts. Anne, did you write the title?
I did, but we don't have to read it because it's dumb.
I'm going to read it. I just wanted to make sure I gave credit. On either side of the veil, the ghosts we carry with us in Fantastic Beasts. So we're going to talk about the like psychological ghosts that each character is dealing, the things that haunt them, because there are no actual ghosts in Fantastic Beasts, which is also
when you pointed that out, I was like, wait, what? Now what?
I don't even think we saw ghosts in the Hogwarts scenes. We might have,
or like we were in a freaking graveyard. Like, wouldn't that have been the moment?
No, we haven't seen ghosts in Fantastic Beasts, despite the fact that they're very present in Harry Potter.
What if Nicholas Flamel was a ghost? Whoa. No, I'm just kidding.
Spooky.
He was frail and white and basically translucent, so.
I don't know if a ghost could have stolen my heart the way Nicholas Flamel did.
And did you also put in this quote?
Yes, I wanted to kick things off with an Arthur Conan Doyle quote.
Love that.
Of all ghosts, the ghosts of our old loves are the worst.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that murder us.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's just, we're going to go through some of the main characters and talk about the things that haunt them. So let's start with our boy, Newt Scamander. And the very obvious thing that haunts him in the first movie a little bit, and then in the second movie, it's haunting him face to face, is the ghost of his and Leeta's relationship.
Which we still don't know anything about.
Yeah, well. Obviously affected him very deeply. And we don't know if they had some sort of like actual falling out or just grew apart, or it was like she then fell in love with Theseus or what. But he obviously is still very like, has weird feelings about him and Leeta.
Sorry, go ahead, Amy. Mine kind of takes us off track, so I will bring it up in a later
scene. Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think his and Leeta's relationship definitely affects the way that he interacts with other people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we see in the flashbacks, he wasn't that great with people prior to his friendship with Leeta, but whatever happened there made it really hard for him to let people in again, is the impression I get. Which, I mean, that's just why his friendship with Jacob is the cutest and their goals.
Probably why it takes so long for him and Tina to finally get together.
Yeah.
Yeah. How wild would it be if the next movie started and they were just together?
And they were just married.
Like, already married, yeah. I would be fine with that, honestly. I mean, I would like to see their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, but
it would also be kind of like, oh, good, that's done.
We knew it was going to happen anyway. So.
Yeah.
As long as they then didn't do some stupid, like, they break up and get back together thing, like.
Oh my god. So many times, I'm sure it'll happen.
Anyway.
Leeta. I was gonna say, with Leeta, because she, I mean, I know Anne and I are firmly in the Leeta Lives camp, but if she did, in fact, die in the last movie, she could actually come back as a real ghost.
Oh! Do you think she would choose that?
I don't think she would choose it, but
I don't know. Maybe.
It would be really cool.
Maybe if she had some unfinished business, she might consider it.
Yeah. We've never really had a character that, like, we saw them die and then become a ghost.
Yeah, that's true.
No, we only hear about it from Sir Nicholas.
Yeah. So that would be really interesting. So, yeah. So that's obviously, like, a main thing that's haunting Newt and really affects his life. Kind of connected to that would be, I feel like he is haunted in a way by like Theseus, which makes it sound very like Theseus is like really annoying. I mean, he's obviously annoyed by Theseus, but like he left his family behind. We don't know about his mom and dad, like where they are. I assume that we've talked about this before. His dad's, like, not mentioned, or his second parent is not mentioned anywhere, and his mom's not mentioned in the movies, so probably dead. But it's like, so obviously he left England, left whatever family he had, left Theseus. Yeah, so I think he's kind of haunted by this life that he left behind. I feel like the second movie is him coming back to that in a way.
I feel like it's also family expectation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not even really that he left them behind, but that he maybe feels like he hasn't lived up to the family in some way. Sure. So that's like following him around.
I don't know. Considering the fact that his mom bred fancy hippogriffs, I feel like going into magizoology was maybe Theseus is the weirdo here.
True, true, true.
I mean, he definitely like doesn't want to do what Theseus wants him to do. Mm-hmm. And it does feel a bit like he's been running away from. I mean, the second movie does have that kind of like, he doesn't want to choose a side. And he's kind of, you know, running away from those responsibilities, which is like, you know, it's cool to not choose the side of the government, but.
Yeah, I feel like he also is probably haunted by like whatever happened to get him expelled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And yeah, I think
that really like affected his entire trajectory on life and how his family sees him and how he thinks his other people see him.
Yeah, and we, like I said, we don't totally know like what happened with Leda and Theseus, like when they got together and the whole timeline and stuff. But I feel like Leda and Theseus haunting him are very tied up in each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like he doesn't want to deal with any of that.
Yeah.
Which is fair. The other thing that I thought for Newt that could theoretically haunt him would be the war, but that doesn't seem to have affected him as much as it has affected Jacob.
Yeah, he really doesn't even seem bothered by it. Like, he just kind of offhandedly mentions he worked with dragons, and that's about it.
Yeah, I get the idea that he was not, like, you know, front lines, really. He didn't do a lot of fighting.
Like, did he see a lot of the death associated with war and like things that would traumatize a soldier and stuff like that?
Or he's just really good at pushing that down. I mean, he definitely pushes stuff down and not deal with it.
That is accurate.
So I think it'll be interesting. Also,
I don't know if I'm like totally making this up, or maybe I read it somewhere. I don't know, but I feel like the wizards weren't as involved as like the muggles. So like, whereas Jacob would have seen his friends dying around him, Newt was a little more removed. Like, the war was, like, this concept of, like, yeah, okay, we'll, like, lend some dragons. But it wasn't like wizards were dying in large numbers. So maybe it just didn't really affect him as much as if you're fully involved and people you know are suffering and dying.
He was on the Eastern Front.
On the what front?
The Eastern Front.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually really know what that means.
That means nothing to me.
Okay, so according to, like, some of the books, like, cinematic guides, it's specifically a covert operation to wrangle Ukrainian Iron Bellies on the Eastern Front.
Hmm. Oh, I thought he was, like, training dragons to help win the war.
According to some, you know, extra book stuff, it was wrangling beasts, but it was ultimately canceled as the dragons only responded to Newt and tried to eat everyone else.
That tracks.
That's great.
Okay, well, this is why it didn't faze him, because he was literally just doing what he always does and going out and find magical beasts.
I was just hanging out with some dragons and BD.
That's amazing.
That's some dragon buds.
Okay, so yeah, so the war's not gonna haunt him a lot, because presumably he didn't let the dragons eat everyone else. And if he had, he might have been like, I don't know, that was their problem.
That sounds like a
if he saw anybody
problem.
Like, you know, hurt dragons or kill dragons, that would haunt him. But
yeah,
I feel like there's a good like Jurassic Park AU of Newt in a dragon Jurassic Park.
Oh my god.
You know, oh yeah, like, where he does like the velociraptor thing with the Chris Pratt thing.
Yeah, like I'm imagining him very much as an Alan Grant type in the first Jurassic Park. Like,
I can see it.
Yeah, and everyone else is just like, the dinosaurs. And he's like, nah, they're cool. But like, we should run away from them, but like, you shouldn't
but
have
not
done
because
all
we're
this.
Scared, just because we're giving them their space and we're respectful of them.
Like, we shouldn't have put them in a zoo. Okay, so that's any other thoughts on Newt and his ghosts?
The only other ghost I thought of was the ghost of the little girl in Africa.
Oh, that's a good one.
Healed the Obscurial one from. That he probably thinks of that as a failure on his part.
Yeah.
And, like, he's clearly still deeply affected by the fact that she died.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
And that's almost a literal ghost that he carries around with.
Yeah.
And that would definitely affect how he handles Credence. Like, he obviously really wants to save Credence, and that would definitely in part be because he feels like he failed saving this little girl.
It's a good Maybe one. We'll learn more about her. I would like
to. That would be cool. So next we've got Tina. I had trouble kind of coming up with what haunts Tina. Which now seems silly now that I, like, came up with stuff, but because obviously she has some feelings about her parents dying. I mean, you would have feelings about your parents dying when you're a kid, but, like, obviously she took over the parenting role of her and Queenie, and I think that has deeply affected her, definitely. The loss of parents and then stepping into the role as parent when you're a child and feeling like maybe you haven't done the best job, even if I think she's done pretty okay.
Yeah, this is like such an example of things from our past, like sticking around and haunting us and then playing such a big part in our present. Because, I mean, the ministry knew how best to use her past against her and what would, you know, manipulate her into basically killing herself in that death chamber thing, which is super messed up, obviously.
Yeah. I think that in a way, I mean, we're gonna see she's gonna be haunted by, like, her sister, like, what happened with Queenie.
Yeah.
How losing Queenie to the other side of the battle.
Well, that'll definitely connect to that feeling of, like, being her parent, kind of, you know?
Yeah, like, this is my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll definitely blame herself. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I should have been there. I mean, you should have been there, but also, like... and then the other thing, which kind of also connects to the death chamber, is, like, the whole... In the first movie, especially, the whole situation of her losing her job as an Auror and Credence and the Second Salemers, she obviously was haunted by that. But in a, like, I'm going to actively... do something about this kind of way.
I was just thinking, do you think that Queenie and the loss of her parents might have tied into that too? Because Credence is kind of a loner, weirdo kid, probably like Queenie was growing up. So maybe she saw it as a chance to save another Queenie.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, to try and keep him from going to the other side, which, I mean, in the films moving forward, maybe... that continues to motivate Tina, and that, you know, she feels like she can't save Queenie, but maybe she can, like, turn Credence around and get him back to the right side.
Yeah. So Tina definitely has the, like, again, almost literal ghosts that we saw in the death chamber. I would be very curious, like, what would they have shown to Newt in the death chamber?
Leta.
Yeah,
I would assume Leta. Being like, hey, come with me.
Jump in the pool, Newt. We'll go swimming.
Yeah. I wish we knew more about that death chamber, but anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
So next up, we have Queenie, who would also certainly be haunted by death of parents and all that.
Of course, yeah.
We also don't know, I don't think we know exactly how old they were when they died.
I feel like Queenie wouldn't have as many memories of them, maybe. So she wouldn't have as much to be haunted by.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just like, I don't think anyone said, but I feel like you get the feeling they're pretty young.
I think she's just more innocent. You know, like, she's the youngest child. She's been sheltered her whole life. Like, she hasn't really had to endure a ton of adversity other than her parents dying, which obviously is a lot. It's a bad thing, but like she's always had Tina to help her and protect her, and she's always kind of gotten what she wanted, right? Like, that's why she was so upset that Jacob didn't want to marry her. Like, yeah. She's just used to getting what she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like those types of people just aren't haunted by things.
Yeah. She's always been taken care of and not, like, really had to be the one on her own making the decisions, yeah. It seems like.
Like, I think it would be fair enough to kind of say in the first movie, Queenie doesn't have something really haunting her. Other than, like, her powers, but they don't seem to be that much of an issue.
She seems to have them mostly under control.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a bit of an implication that that is why she's a little bit of an outsider. But she, by adulthood, seems mostly content to just be hanging out with her sister and stuff.
Yeah. I put down, like, her power was something that I definitely thought of right away when I thought of Queenie. And I feel like, yeah, like, by the time we see her, she's settled in. She knows how to use it. She's, like, fine with it. It's part of her.
Yeah.
But I always got the impression that maybe when she was younger, that was something that was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I for sure always felt like that was, like, an issue for her, especially at school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You'd know what everybody's thinking about you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be easy, that's for sure. But she seems to have, in adulthood at least, been come to terms with her powers and kind of happy about. I think she, like, likes who she is at that point in her life.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. In the second movie, we do get that bit of, like, she's, you know, in a crowded place where everybody is thinking in French, and that is very upsetting. But
I think her mental state also plays into that. Like, when she's upset.
Our other note here was, like, the ghost of what could be with Jacob. That's definitely what's going on in the second movie. And presumably what will keep going on for the rest of the series.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, she's looking at a, like, this one's interesting because it's not a ghost that's in her past. It's a ghost of a future.
Yeah.
And she's so desperate for it that she'll do whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if A Christmas Story is any indication, there are ghosts of the future, ghosts of the past, ghosts of the present. So.
Well, and you also think about if she didn't get to, depending on when her parents died, if she never really had that, like, you know, adults who are in a healthy romantic relationship to look up to, then that could be something that she's like, well, I really want that, but I don't know how to get it. I don't know totally what it looks like. Because I also feel like her and Tina were never really dating boys and bringing boys around. So she hasn't experienced that in any other way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff's rough for Queenie. Yeah,
indeed.
Right now.
I think that we will see much more in terms of, like, haunting and ghosts and stuff for Queenie in future movies because... I think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I feel like in the first movie, it's fair to say that, like, Queenie is kind of the most mentally stable of the four.
In the first one, but then there's a hard turn in the beginning.
Yes.
The
My, how things have changed.
So, up next, we've got Jacob. I wrote, he would have been haunted by the ghost of his fiance if they had kept that thing. Which, thank goodness they didn't.
Yeah, really. That one's super weird.
I wonder, like, what, now that we've had that screening of Secrets of Dumbledore, like, what from that is going to turn into the new Jacob's fiance? You know, because we have all these people who have seen a movie that might just have, like, a total plot line just cut.
It'll probably happen.
Yeah.
I could see
it. So wild. So Jacob definitely haunted by the war. Super haunted by the war.
Oh yeah, yeah. Poor guy.
I mean, they show that, you know, vision thing in the second movie and he's like, well, this
he's
is
like
gonna
not
suck.
Another war.
Again. So yeah.
Poor Jacob.
And it's like, you know. Yeah. He kinda just got back from it recently. And he doesn't have any friends.
He works in a canning factory.
Yeah, stuff's rough for Jacob. And I think going forward, what we're going to see is more of the haunted by the war as we get into another war. But also that he's going to kind of have the same thing as Queenie. He's going to be like, but Queenie, I wanted to marry Queenie and have a life with Queenie, but now she's on the Nazis.
Yeah. Not to mention that he's also haunted by all of the burnt pastries that never came out of the oven well.
Single tear.
I mean, that's really gotta haunt him.
And his Nana. Her picture on the wall.
Yeah. I want to know more about Jacob's Nana.
Can we get like a spin-off series about her?
How funny would it be if she wasn't dead?
That's a plot twist. I'm here for that plot twist.
It's just, she pops up the end of movie three. Chilling. Surprise!
That would be great.
I made everyone pastries.
What if it was like in like the next movie they need somewhere to go and Jacob's like, oh, my Nana lives in Germany.
Your Nana's alive?
Take. Psych!
Let's go to her house. And they just go to Jacob's Nana's house.
Oh, and then they have another cute old person scene where she's like, oh, let me make you cookies.
And Lute's just trying to escape, as he always is. And he's in just situation.
And she's like, no, you must take some to go. I'll make you a bag.
I like how we're just writing a scene.
Yeah.
It's totally going to happen in the movie.
I think another thing that haunts Jacob in a positive way is the magical world.
Oh, yeah.
Because now that he's had a taste, he wants to stay there.
Yeah, he really, really is kind of on the other side of a veil from that, isn't he? Because he can be in it, but never truly part of it. We don't even know what he saw when they went to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And do we, like, I can't remember, remind me, like, is it canon that, like, he did recover all of his memories from the first movie, or does he not, are there missing parts of his memories?
I think he recovered all of his memories.
Okay.
I think it might have taken a bit, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely that, like, he wants to be part of the magical world, he loves magic. I don't even know if he necessarily, like, wants to do... I mean, who wouldn't want to do magic? But it feels like he would be content to just be able to remember the magical world and hang out with his friends and see them do magic and stuff. But he's not allowed.
Yeah, and if he died, he wouldn't be given the chance to come back as a ghost because he is a muggle.
Rough stuff.
Oof.
Spooky. So our next extremely haunted character.
Oh man, Lita's so haunted.
Lita Lestrange herself, who also almost has a literal ghost. I would think babies probably don't really become ghosts because.
What about Casper?
I mean, babies in the Harry Potter world. Sorry, Casper is non-canonical.
He might be canonical, you don't know.
That's fair. I feel like Corvus, the real Corvus, probably didn't have a moment of like, should I become a ghost? But she does see him everywhere.
Corvus, the friendly ghost.
So that obviously has very deeply affected her. I think that's safe to say.
I feel like Lita's character is the one where that whole storyline affected by people who aren't alive anymore thing really comes into play the most.
Yeah. That's kind of her whole thing.
Yeah. That's her niche.
I mean, she's definitely like kind of haunted by Newt and whatever happened there.
Uh-huh.
But, like, she doesn't, she's like, can we just, like, be friends and hang out and stuff? And he's like, no, I have to go be moody. So I feel like that would be less of an issue if Newt was just chill about it.
Yeah.
But, yes, we've got Corvus and then we've got her father, which,
that's a whole lot of baggage.
There's so much going on there.
The whole family is haunting her. I mean, the second movie is just everybody being like, hey, Lita, can I ask you something about your family? And she's like, please don't ever.
I would not like to not talk about it. Thank you.
I'd like to just marry this handsome boy.
Please just let me marry this boy. Thank you. I love him. He's very handsome.
Yeah. And there's a term for this, and I actually had to Google because I couldn't remember it, but it's unseen characters that aren't really known to the audience or like shown to the audience, which in this case, we do see them and hear about them at the very end of the plot. but like throughout the rest of the movie, they're very much just like invisible on scene. And then we later find out that that's kind of what like is driving these characters in the plot, kind of in that climatic scene in the crypt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, you look at, I'm just looking at like the family members section of Luda's little Wikipedia page, and it's like Corvus Lestrange, father, Lorena Kama, mother, Clarice Tremblay, stepmother slash first cousin once removed, Yusuf Kama, maternal half-brother, Corvus Lestrange, half-brother, Falco Tremblay, step-uncle slash first cousin once removed. Like, what's happening? Who are all these people?
So what I'm hearing is the Lestrange family tree just has a lot of branches that just, like, loop around.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, they're a pureblood family. I mean, pureblood families are all about the incest and the, yeah, it's so.
True.
Yeah, I mean, and she, like, Lita would definitely be haunted by just her mom and her mom's sucky life. And, man, I don't want to end up like my mom, but also feel bad about what happened to my mom. I'm just looking at all these Wikipedia pages about this messed up family.
Yeah, Lita was not dealt a great hand in life, that's for sure.
But luckily, since she's still alive, she can still be dealt one. She can still marry that handsome ministry boy.
Yes.
And go on to live a beautiful life.
Because she never, no, she's not dead. She never died.
Speaking of that whole family, then we have Yusuf. Really haunted by kind of all the same people.
Yeah.
But, you know, then also, like, his dad.
Yeah.
Like, putting a promise like that on a, like, a preteen, that's a big ask.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to affect the kid's entire life.
And it did. That became his entire life. As far as we can tell, he really hasn't done anything except try to kill this baby.
Right. Like, what is his job? What is his occupation? What does he do? Does he have a family? Who knows? He's just
Wouldn't it be wild if he find had, Corvus. Like, just a wife and kids somewhere?
Okay, kids, I'm about to try and kill a baby again. See y'all later. Hi, Daddy, we love
off to my attempted baby murder job. See ya. Have a good day at school. And I hope that I don't have to kill any of your friends.
Do you think he keeps them in the sewers? Do they live in, like, a little house off the sewers?
Does he live in the sewers? Like, I guess so.
He was too well-dressed, I feel like. Like, you know, like, he's very, like, clean. I don't know if a sewer life was was really in the cards for him.
It's so funny. His Wikipedia page is Seeking Vengeance, 1896 to 1926.
Oh, I thought, you said that's his Wikipedia page? Is that
his Harry Potter wiki page?
I was going to say, that sounds like his Tinder profile or something.
It's like a resume. Why do we have this gap of employment? Well, you see, I was trying to find this baby.
Seeking Vengeance. Since I was 12.
That's on his LinkedIn page. Seeking vengeance.
Professionally seeking vengeance since, you know, 18, whatever.
So wild.
But honestly, but in all seriousness, though, like, he is 100% doing it because he will die if he doesn't. So he probably doesn't enjoy it, is what I'll say.
I mean, that would be very haunting.
Yes.
And now we don't know what's going to happen next for Yusuf. We've talked about this before, but, you know, I imagine that even if it's like, oh, you don't have to kill anyone now because they're all dead, and the unbreakable vow is broken.
Safely.
He'd still be very haunted by all that, especially in a, like, oh, I didn't have to do that for 30 years.
Oh, I could have just.
Do you think he killed babies thinking they were Corvus, though? Ugh. Like,
I don't think so.
No, he was looking for very specific people. Like, it sounds like, according to the wiki page, like, the family was, they knew the Lestranges, so it's not like he was be like, You have dark hair. You're probably strange.
No, I mean, like, yeah, but I just wonder if maybe he, like, you know, had some trial and error with thinking someone was Corvus, like, doing his research, thinking he...
Oh, maybe.
And then,
I don't know. He obviously very researched.
Yeah.
That was
I just wonder
sentence.
If he has any, like, accidental baby murders in his past or not.
I don't think so. I think he really sat down and thought this out. But we've also talked before about, like, but when, you know... When would he die? When would it become, oh, you didn't complete the unbreakable vow, so now you die? Like,
yeah, it's a weird unbreakable vow.
Just go on forever.
And if somebody else kills Corvus,
oh, does that
count? Yusuf die? Because, like, he technically didn't carry out the thing.
Well, theoretically, Corvus is dead, so, like.
Yeah.
Or he's not, and.
But was the unbreakable vow? What if was the unbreakable vow made after Corvus had already died? Because then, like,
we've talked about this before too. I don't think we know exactly.
Yeah,
and then just the fact that he's still alive—does that mean that Corvus is still alive?
He must be.
I don't know.
We've talked about all this before, and we have no answers. Because
we've been talking in circles for 3 years.
So it was okay. So, Mr. Corvus Lestrange. The adult man took Yusuf's mom.
The adult.
Had baby Corva. No. Had baby Lita.
Okay.
Yes.
Then Yusuf's mom died. And then he married another woman and had baby Corvus. Somewhere in there.
Corvus Jr.
Yusuf and his dad found out that mom had died. And then his dad died and made him make the unbreakable vow. I don't know if we know... If that was before or after Corvus was born. Because Yusuf thought he needed to kill Lita first. But then he found out there was another child that Mr. Lestrange actually liked. Because he didn't like Lita.
Zing.
Because I think we've talked before about, like, what if it was actually he needed to kill Lita. But, or something. It was the thing that... Mr. Lestrange loves most. Wasn't that, like, the specific wording?
Yeah, that's what it says. Is that
So
Yusuf decided that Corvus... First he thought Lita was the target, then he decided that Corvus was the target, so...
So would that keep transferring to whatever is left?
Maybe, or maybe, like, I wonder, like, what happened... Corvus Lestrange Sr., I wonder if he's dead. Like, is it possible he loved himself the most, and...
I would assume he's dead, otherwise why wouldn't it just be, like, kill him? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Is it like you have to go destroy his favorite tie? Like, does it get down to that point? Like, does it just keep transferring to whatever he loved? Or does it eventually?
Can someone remind me? Do we see Yusuf alive after Lita's death and
he's at Hogwarts.
Okay.
With the whole group.
I was going to say, because if it was like plot twist, it was Lita all along. And she dies, but isn't the one that did it. Then
all along.
It was Lita all along. Yes, exactly. and she dies, but he didn't do it. Then he would have died. So it wouldn't have. It couldn't be her then.
Oh, duh. He is dead. He's buried at Père Lachaise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Anyway, that's all very confusing. Yusuf is a very haunted man.
Yes.
So finally on our list, we have another very haunted man. Albus Dumbledore.
Oof.
Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore.
That's him.
That's my boy.
So, I think Albus has kind of a similar thing as Newt when in regard... Obviously, we're going to get into the actual dead people, but a similar thing to Newt in the, like, mixed feelings about brother and relationship with brother, and I'm going to kind of run away from that. But Albus has a lot more reason to have mixed feelings about his family, because they're all dead. And maybe it's his fault that Ariana died. And he doesn't know. Obviously, we all know the story of Ariana. So,
Do we, though?
And his parents both being dead.
Well, and not only similar to Newt, but also Tina.
Yeah.
And that the parents are dead. And then he also feels this responsibility towards the siblings that he feels like he failed.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I think it's fair to say Aberforth also feels like he failed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that his biggest ghost, the one that haunts him the most, is definitely Ariana, because it haunts him all the way to his death. in in Deathly Hallows, or sorry, Half-Blood Prince. So like it's something that he lives with. I think the death of Ariana is something that greatly influences the person that he becomes, and all of his daily actions, honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If there's a like, if everyone has a sort of one event that shapes them the most, that would be his one event. Yeah. And obviously we have here like the ghosts of what could have been with Grindelwald. I mean, obviously just his whole relationship with Grindelwald is also wrapped up in what happened to Ariana.
Yeah.
And that whole thing is like, I think in a lot of ways he probably feels a bit responsible for Grindelwald becoming who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe not responsible for him becoming that way, because he was definitely that way before they met, but like for not stopping him and for encouraging him for a little while. And also for
playing a role in the whole greater good slogan and all of that.
Dumbledore's really out here like, I can fix him. except he wasn't like, I could fix him.
He's a bit of a fixer upper.
He's got a couple of bugs.
So, yeah, he's got a lot of stuff. I mean, Dumbledore's got a lot of skeletons in his closet. A lot of secrets, one might say.
Huh, enough to make a movie about it, do you think?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. That'd make a good title for a movie. Somebody should think about that.
You heard it here first, guys. I did actually predict it, so.
This is true. You did.
So I have a couple of, little questions here. Why do we think there are no literal ghosts in Fantastic Beasts?
My initial thought is, like, maybe it's, like, too juvenile, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the ghosts in Harry Potter are kind of, like, not... They're like not scary, and they're just kind ghosts. Of like, yeah, they're fun.
I mean, they're literally mascots.
Yeah. So like maybe it's just too much of a children's story aspect or something. Like they'd have to, make them adult somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be cool to get a scary ghost.
It would be cool to get a scary ghost.
I mean, the Bloody Baron is pretty scary. I mean,
that's true.
Murdered the Grey Lady. Like,
imagine you go to school and it's just like, oh yeah, that's the house mascot and that's the other mascot, and he murdered her.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
But they're cool now. They're cool now.
Yeah, it's all fine.
And now they're both stuck here in high school forever.
Right. What ghosts, literal or otherwise, would we like to see in the movies? I mean, it would be cool to see a literal ghost of Leta if she's dead.
Yeah, I'd like to see Leta. I think it would be cool to see Ariana, but I feel like if Ariana was a ghost, we would have seen her in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
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 But I would like to see her.
What about, like, Kendra Dumbledore?
That would be
wild. I wonder if she would have stuck around.
Ooh, interesting.
I could see their dad sticking around, but I don't know.
All the Dumbledores. All the Dumbledores are just a family of ghosts now.
I don't know if their dad was in a headspace after being in Azkaban that he could stick around,
Well, I'd like to see Jacob's Nana.
Yeah, that would
even
be fun.
She's a muggle, so it wouldn't work, but still.
She's a muggle as far as we know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she was a witch. Valid. Maybe she was a witch. Who knows? And maybe Jacob is a squib.
That would be wild.
I wonder, if the other wizarding schools have ghosts, like how Hogwarts is kind of like a home to ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be kind of interesting to see.
I feel like if there weren't, the visiting delegations probably would have made a bigger deal about the fact that there are literal dead people hanging out in your school. Because, although maybe on the other hand, if they had, Fleur probably would have said something about it. Like, our ghosts are way cuter and also way better coordinated than y'all's.
And better dressed.
But do we think they're ghosts at Ilvermorny, I don't know. Has it been around long enough?
I feel like a wizarding school is, like, the perfect place to house them, because otherwise they're just going to be floating around out there, like all giving everybody away.
All the victims of the Salem witch trials are just, like, hanging around over morning.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would be fun to see.
Yeah, like, what was it? The Proctors or whatever? Is that from the Crucible?
Yeah.
Abigail Proctor.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just chilling out in their nice Salem garb. I don't know what other ghosts we could even possibly see
you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we've talked about all these dead people, but it is like, if they were ghosts, we probably would have seen them already. It would be wild if Tina was like, oh yeah, let's go talk to my mom. She just haunts our apartment. Sorry. She's shy.
Like, a non-literal ghost seeing something about, like, literally just a brief mention of the Potter family line as a ghost would be fun. Like, oh, hey, it's my buddy, Charles Potter. Hey, Charles. Okay, bye.
And it would be funny if there was, like, a Potter who was a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I want to see as a ghost? I just thought of this, and I am here for it. Freaking Graves.
Yes.
I want to see Graves so badly as a ghost.
Colin Farrell, bring me semi-transparent Colin Farrell.
And he could talk about how Grindelwald killed him.
What happened?
And, you know, he could help them. Be like, I want to take down Grindelwald. He murdered me.
I want to get into the psychological ghosts of Grindelwald.
Ooh.
I want him to feel haunted.
We don't know enough about him yet to really guess, but...
Like, he doesn't... He presents this very swaggery, like...
Yeah.
I'm just confident and stuff. But certainly he would feel a little haunted by Dumbledore.
Ariana, because he's also possibly responsible for Ariana's death, too.
Yeah, and I don't think he would feel too guilty about that, but he would probably feel like, that ruined my stuff with Dumbledore.
Right.
Yeah, the ghost of a potential love, you know?
And he could have helped. He's super powerful. He could have helped me a lot.
Oh, see, you're like, you're all thinking strategic. I'm like, oh, he wants to be in a relationship with him.
I feel like he would be thinking very strategically.
Just a psychopath.
But both. Yeah, and then I just hope that with a lot of these things we've discussed, they keep coming up. Nothing is forgotten, you know? Like, one I think about a lot is, like, I really want Tina to still have the connection to Credence. Because she's the one who really started that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I want them to be friends. So the real ghosts were the friends we made along the way.
Oh, it's true. That's that for the main discussion. So now we're going to open a creepy old suitcase. The hinges creak. And we'll go down some squeaky stairs into the nude case.
Dun, dun, dun.
As I'm sure you can guess, we're talking ghosts today.
Ghosts.
Of course we are.
What? This is Ghost Beastie.
That's right. It's Spook Boosty. We're going too hard with the Halloween theme. Spook
Boosty. Our listeners are going to be like, God, we're so glad that they don't have an episode on Halloween every year.
Honestly, I think we should rebrand the podcast and just have this all year round.
Yes.
Yes.
My vote.
Wow, we only have one listener. I think it's actually Anne.
I'll up my Patreon just for this.
Okay. So, ghosts.
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the book, is actually silent on the subject of ghosts. Because, as we find out in the introduction, ghosts are not considered beasts.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, would they be beings, though?
They are also not considered beings, like humans, merpeople, or goblins.
Oh.
As stated in the introduction, quote, an exception was made for the ghost who asserted it was insensitive to class them as beings when they were so clearly has-beens, which made me laugh really, really hard.
Oh, yeah.
The only people that want to be classified as has-beens.
Stump therefore created the three divisions of the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures that exist today, the Beast Division, the Being Division, and the Spirit Division.
Not the has-been.
Wait, so they not are the spirits. Has-been. So they're spirits.
Well. Yes.
Okay.
Is it inappropriate, therefore, to discuss ghosts in the nude case? Maybe. But is it extremely spooky? Yes.
Yes.
We need to do it anyway. I don't care. Yeah.
In the Harry Potter series itself, we learn that only a magical being can become a ghost, either because they are afraid of death or because they have some kind of unfinished business. They are a three-dimensional imprint of a soul, choosing a pale imitation of life instead of death. They cannot feel and can only sort of taste if a food is very rotten and putrid. They also cannot change, never truly maturing, learning, or growing. They don't know what dying or the afterlife is like, so they can't even answer the question people are most curious about. It seems overall to be a sad, quiet existence that isn't even free from the ministry. The spirit division checks on ghostly welfare, and in the event that a ghost is harassing a human, can even order them to haunt another spot. Myrtle, for instance, is ordered back to the place where she died. But it's not clear if it always has to be that spot, or if a ghost can choose where they want to haunt. Can you imagine? You're dead, but, like, you still have to listen to the government?
But can you vote is the good question.
I mean, considering the wizarding world does government, everything about government wrong, I'm going to guess, well, maybe. Actually, that would be doing government pretty wrong.
Yeah, like, if the government has... I don't
know, they're affected by the government, so I feel like they should get to vote.
Yeah, I mean, they...
I don't know if there's voting, though.
Yeah, it I think we hear about a vote, like, a vote of no confidence, maybe, in book six, right? But that's about it.
They must vote for the minister. I don't
know. Like, do they have elections? Do they run? I don't know. I don't know how, like, UK British government, like, works, to be honest.
Yes.
Everybody in the UK that listens is like, God, you're such an idiot. But
and stop.
Lost so many listeners.
All of our new listeners are writing very angry emails to speakbeastie@gmail.com, where we'll read them on the Owl Post next week and say thank you for clarifying. So the word ghost comes from the Old English word gast, which means spirit or soul, related to the German word geist and the Old Norse word, oh God, I'm so sorry to all of our Norwegian listeners, geisa, G-E-I-S-A, which means to rage. According to Etym Online, quote, this is conjectured to be from a Proto-Indo-European root geis, G-H-E-I-S, which is used in forming words involving the notions of excitement, amazement, or fear.
Interesting.
Muggle experiences of ghosts are much broader than those of magical people. While a witch or wizard will experience a walking, talking spirit, muggles might see a full form, a shadow, or even just feel a cold chill down their spine. The idea of ghosts has been around as long as people have, that the soul of a living being might stick around after death in the event of unfinished business, or that even that the grief of the living is so great that it interrupts the sleep of the dead. Ghosts are normally pictured as ephemeral and translucent, and historians believe that may have come from colder cultures where you can see your breath, which is something ephemeral and wispy that comes from inside of you. According to Ghosts and Gravestones, the five most common types of ghosts are the interactive personality, which is most similar to the type of ghosts found in the wizarding world. They are visible, can talk, and sometimes have sense associated with them. The ectoplasm or ectomist, a mist or fog that appears to be swirling, which can appear on its own or be a prelude to an interactive personality. So, you know, there's like a spooky fog and then, oh my God, there's a ghost suddenly. The poltergeist, like Peeves, they can move things, knock things over, set fires, slam doors, and a poltergeist haunting will usually start out mild and then ramp up as time goes on. Orbs, a transparent or translucent orb usually hovering above the ground. Like the ectomist, this can appear on its own or turn into an actual apparition. And funnel ghosts, which are the source of cold spots in haunted areas. The ghost takes a form of a funnel or vortex and often photographs as a spiral of light. So if you've ever been somewhere and suddenly you feel a cold spot, that's a ghost just spinning around real fast behind you.
That tracks.
Yeah.
In addition to these, two very common ghosts are the Lady in White, usually associated with a local tragedy tied to loss or betrayal, and the Lady in Red, which is usually tied to a hotel, theater, or bar, and is the victim of a triumph of passion. Finally, to wrap up our educational talk about ghosts, according to The Gamer, the top five ghost Pokemon are Chandelure, the Galarian Corsola, Gengar, Dragapult, and Aegislash.
That was the most important part, for sure.
You know,
God, we've cleared that up.
So, as a spooky treat for our listeners, we thought we would each bring a local ghost story to share.
I found this article that is just Minnesota Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Nice.
And so they're all kind of like two or three sentences. So, like, for example, in 1945, a woman waits for her boyfriend to return from fighting in World War II at the old Greyhound bus depot on First Avenue in downtown Minneapolis, which I drive by all the time. And when she's informed that he perished in combat and won't be arriving, she hangs herself in the bathroom. To this day, patrons using the ladies' room at what is now First Avenue attest to encountering a spectral woman wearing a green jacket.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I have used this restroom, but I don't think I saw this person. another one is in 1967 at the Guthrie Theater, which is a really nice theater in downtown Minneapolis. Usher Richard Miller kills himself. Man, lots of suicide. And he is buried in his Usher uniform, but his presence is felt in row 18 of the original Guthrie for years after. And then this is the last one I'll read. In 1986, on Halloween, five St. Olaf students break into a natural cave on the backside of a campus hill. When a decaying air shaft collapses, one of them is buried alive. Forevermore, a boy in a red baseball cap haunts the residence of his old room in Thorson Hall.
Ooh, spooky!
Yeah. I mean, there are a good amount of them here on this link, but yeah, they're all just kind of cute little spooky things and places to look out for ghosts if you're in the Twin Cities area.
Well, I'll go next. I was trying to find Orlando ghost stories, and there don't seem to be that many good ones. Like, there's like, oh, so we have Lake Eola is our big downtown lake, and there's like, oh, people report seeing a ghostly dog running around the lake. Aww. Which is very cute. But like, that's it. and other little things like that. There are other places in Florida that have ghost stories, like St. Augustine is a big one. But I was trying to find Orlando-specific ones. So then I started looking into Disney and Universal ghost stories, which there are a lot of little things. But one of the bigger actual, like, ghost stories is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Not Haunted Mansion, which you might expect. Haunted Mansion obviously has a lot of, like, ooh, spooky things that may or may not have happened. But, no, Pirates of the Caribbean supposedly has George.
Oh, George.
George haunts Pirates of the Caribbean. He is allegedly a construction worker who died during the construction of the ride. There are no records of a George working on the construction of Pirates of the Caribbean, but maybe there was, and maybe he died.
Maybe.
Who knows? The rumor is that, like, something fell on him and killed him during construction. So now he haunts it, but he is a mostly nice ghost, and really his whole thing is you have to be nice to him, or else he's going to mess up the ride. So it's like cast members have to say good morning and good night to George every day. Don't. I don't know. From what I've read, it seems like they don't do this as much anymore, but it used to be a really big tradition that you'd say good morning and good night to George, or else he would make the ride not work because he was like, you're not respecting me.
Oh my God. That does explain why that was shut down last time I was in Florida.
Yeah, you didn't say
you have to be nice to George.
Supposedly, if you're there and you say I don't believe in George, the ride will stop.
I want to test it out.
Right?
I just want to do it just to piss him off.
So yeah, there's just stories about like people not being nice to George, and then he makes the ride not work. So that's probably one of the more like concrete ghost stories at the parks here. I found a lot of ghost stories for the California theme parks, but I'm like, that's not where I live, so. Yeah.
Interesting.
There are a lot of rumors about, like, people scattering ashes at Haunted Mansion. But that's not actually as true as people think. People don't really do that, so. That's not really a ghost story, but just, like, if you're ever like, people scatter ashes in here, they don't, really. That doesn't really happen. So, that's it.
Amy, do you want to go next?
Sure, why not? I was trying to find one, and I really couldn't decide because there are so many. Sure. Where actually Binghamton, New York is Rod Serling's hometown. And there's kind of the joke locally that all of the weird stuff that happens here really inspired the Twilight Zone. I didn't go with one of those stories because I actually found, as you mentioned, a Lady in White story.
Ooh,
which nice. Is a good one. I'd actually heard this story before. Never experienced it myself, but, you know, there's a time for everything. So, here we go. Set the mood. On a twisting patch of road in a little town called Owego, New York, there's one particular curve that has earned the name the Devil's Elbow. It's on that sharp turn that drivers have reported seeing something a little bit eerie. When it's dark out and you're driving in this part of the state, you're looking out for deer most of the time, not women wearing long white gowns. But at Devil's Elbow, that's exactly what people have said they've seen, a lady in white materializing out of the fog. Sometimes she disappears right away. Other times she seems to be motioning with her arms, warning drivers to slow down. And in other tellings, she actually accepts rides from those kind enough to stop. Except they then have said that she vanishes from their passenger seat a few miles down the road when they turn to say something to her. So, pretty creepy.
That's so cool.
Don't know who would stop to pick up some really eerie figure on the road, but okay.
Yeah, no, we're going faster.
So, the mysterious lady in white's origin story differs depending on who tells the story. Mm-hmm. Some have said she was a bride riding in the passenger seat as her groom drove when they took the bend too fast and they were both thrown from the vehicle and killed. In other versions of the story, she's a Victorian lady involved in a horse and buggy crash. And in yet another version, she's a teenager in a prom gown, a prom night casualty. Ooh. Though not everyone can agree on what her story is, one thing stands out. All of these stories were invented to try and explain the things people have been seeing for decades at Devil's Elbow. And interestingly enough, to kind of give a bit of real world physical evidence here. A female skull was uncovered during construction at the site in the 1930s. And according to local historians, the coroner ruled it was around 100 years old. So that puts it around the 1830s, whoa, which explains the long white gown and her fashion of the time. The coroner thought the skull showed blunt force trauma, and the woman it belonged to may have been murdered at a rough bar establishment that used to sit at the site. So that's the only story of human remains or, like, any deadly incident near Devil's Elbow that historians have found that could really explain this whole lady in white thing. But, explained or not, drivers around these parts know to be on the lookout on those particularly dark and foggy nights, and to take that curve at a reasonable speed, please and thank you.
Wow.
Spooky.
So, a question. She's never killed anybody, right?
No.
Okay, well then, I mean, why be scared
of
her?
Not that I've heard.
I mean, yeah.
Because she's a lady popping up in front of your car. That's still
unsettling. But, like, I would 100%, like, if the legend is that she's never killed anyone or, you know, tried to hurt people, I would give her a ride. Be like, hey, what's it like being a ghost?
And she'd be like, more. Oh, I don't know.
Be like, I'll let her in the car, be like, so you're a ghost, right? And she'll be like, oh, yeah. Be like, oh, cool. What's it like?
So you just gotta hang around here for, you know, hundreds of years? What's that like?
Like, what's the craziest, like, person that's given you a ride? Like, tell me stories.
One time, I gave this woman a ride. Spooky. From the grocery store, and it turned, like, she was asking people in the parking lot to give her a ride because I guess she must have taken the bus there and then there wasn't a bus. Anyway, she had ice cream.
Spookiest thing of all is unreliable public transit,
right? And she came up to me and my roommate and asked, and it was like, well, where are you going? And she turned out to be going to our neighborhood, so it was like, okay. So we drove her and dropped her off at the front of the neighborhood. She was visiting. She didn't live there. And right before she got out of the car, she was like, thank you so much. You know, you never know when someone might be an angel. And then got out. And it was like, you saying you're an angel?
Yeah, who's the angel in this scenario?
Angels? What? And then we never saw her again.
Spooky.
So spooky.
I know.
A real life ghost story.
Yeah, crazy. gave this woman a ride home from the grocery store.
Oh my gosh, that is very scary.
Yep.
Well, I'll wrap it up. So Chicago is a city that is full of tragedy. But a lot of the ghost stories that I found that I was looking into were not, they were just like, oh, people have felt kind of creepy in this alley and this behind this theater where a bunch of people died or whatever. It was hard to find like a story, but I hope that you like the one that I picked. On the corner of Clark and Irving Park in the heart of Wrigleyville is Graceland Cemetery. It's huge and green, more like a park than a cemetery. And when you get far enough in, you can't hear the sounds of the city anymore, just the quiet. Near to the wall by Clark Street, there's a beautiful, elaborate statue of a little girl protected from the elements by a glass box. The inscription under it reads Inez, then, daughter of J.N. and M.C. Clark, born September 20th, 1873, died August 1st, 1880. Legend says that Inez was a little girl, 6 years old, when she was out for a picnic with her parents. A sudden thunderstorm kicked up, and before the Clarks could find shelter, a lightning bolt struck Inez, killing her instantly.
Oh, Jesus.
Another take on the story has it that Inez was locked out of the house, whether for accidentally or for a punishment is never really clear, and a bolt of lightning struck and killed her before she could get back inside. Either way, she died, and her parents erected a beautiful memorial to her little girl, gone too soon. Thunderstorms in Chicago or something. If you're downtown, you can hear the thunder echoing between the skyscrapers, or you can see the winds whipping up the surface of Lake Michigan if you happen to be on Lakeshore Drive. In Graceland, the story goes that Inez leaves her glass box during storms, scared of the thunder and lightning, searching for somewhere to hide during the storm. At least one night watchman claims to have seen the empty box during a thunderstorm and reported the statue missing. The next morning, the statue was back in place, and the watchman quit. Some people claim to have seen a little girl in 19th century clothes running and dancing through the cemetery, and others swear they've heard a child crying. There are stories of children visiting the graveyard saying that they played with a girl nearby, but when they lead their parents back to the spot where they played, their new friend is gone. We did visit Inez during a tour of Graceland Cemetery, and the headstone is stunning and a little unsettling. She didn't move for us, but we did see a bunny as we left, so maybe that was her way of saying hi. And that's the story of Inez Clark.
Spooky. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not good.
it's sad, but...
it's an actual story. Love that.
All right. So this week's podcast question is, who would you want to see as a ghost in the Fantastic Beasts series? We'd love to hear from you. Let us know your answer to this question. I'm sure that we all have some really interesting thoughts on this. So drop us a line, an owl, on any of our social media outlets, or email us at speakbc@gmail.com. You can also, if you please, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, on Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. We have stickers, we have a lot of extra content, bloopers, early episode releases. Yeah. Do you guys have anything cool coming out soon?
This isn't necessarily coming out soon, it'll be within the next month or so, but I will say that part of our recent Disneyland vacation was spent looking for scavenger hunt content.
Yes! And
ooh. I think folks will be very pleased with the results.
Nice.
Yay.
Cool.
I'm going to hopefully do something that Anne gave me the idea for when we were coming up with a main discussion idea.
What?
I don't know if I want to, like, give it away yet, though.
No, don't give it away. I'm excited to see it.
Especially because I need to actually do it first. So, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. I'm thinking of doing some maybe knitting patterns and tutorials coming up for the colder months.
Cute.
So yes.
Definitely keep an eye out on Patreon. I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
I'm Helene.
And I'm Shannon. Case closed.